While we were doing some worship, the Lord started giving me a couple more verses, and I'm like, okay, they're not in my notes, so we'll see if we can make that work. I'm copying and pasting right now into my phone just so I have them available. And yeah, we'll make sure that I have them here. Hold on one second. Give me just a second. Continue talking for a moment. And I just want to, I'll make sure I write down these. All right. I think we're good. I think the Lord's done speaking for a moment. Let's pray together and let's pray for the message today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today, bringing us together as your body, as a body of believers. Lord, we're humbly asking that you would speak to us today through your word, that you would teach us and show us something. I just pray, God, I personally ask that there would be something for every person here in this message. Even if 95% of it doesn't apply to them, that there would be a little thing that you show to them, a little treat that you give to your kids. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd be in this message. We thank you, God, for this country. We thank you for the freedom you've bestowed upon us. We're so grateful to live in a place where we can worship you freely. And even with all of its warts and flaws right now, Lord, we are grateful and thankful for this country. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 246 years ago tomorrow, we declared independence from Great Britain. And so this morning, we were in the book of John last week, and so I was praying this week, hey, what am I going to talk about? And I struggle with topical messages. I would love to just go verse by verse and pull things out. That's the way I like to teach. But the topical messages, sometimes the Lord goes, no, I want you to stop and talk about this. The Father's Day messages, the Mother's Day messages, they're always the ones that I struggle with the most. And I'm usually up late, I'm up early, I'm up late, I'm up early, and just struggling with those messages. And today, it's no different. So we're going to see what the Lord decides to speak through this message today. So this thing that happened 246 years ago, us declaring independence, it launched us into a six-year-long bloody war, a war that really it looked like we had no business winning. Looked like we were losing. In fact, George Washington lost way more battles than he ever won. People don't think about that. Think about, you know, he lost a lot. He's still considered a great general, but if you look at the tally, way more losses than wins for George Washington. And so it looked like for years that we were not going to be a free nation. And I truly believe that God ordained this country from the beginning for his plans and his purposes. If you look at Valley Forge and you look at the things that happened in the crossing of the Delaware, if you just study it, you can't help but come away and realize, oh my gosh, the hand of God was upon what transpired there. There was miracle after miracle happening. Battles we should have never, we had no business winning against the most powerful army in the world. A bunch of ragtag militiamen were able to fend them off and win victories. And so we see God's hand even in the founding of our country. And then the thing that I think about is the way that the Lord has used this country to be a blessing to not only the people of this country, but to other countries as well. There's no country that has sent out more missionaries, used more resources for the advancement of the gospel than the United States. There is no other country that sends out missionaries like we do. There is no other country that sends our resources, pay our blood and our treasure for the advancement of Jesus Christ. And so I believe that God has always had a plan for this country. Now, his future plans, I don't know. I have no idea. It doesn't look great right now. But I know that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for anything that we do. And so as I was thinking about our country this week and praying to the Lord, I was just praying and the concept of freedom and liberty and kept thinking about those things. And so I was thinking about one of my favorite founding fathers, Patrick Henry. And Patrick Henry In 1775, he gave an impassioned speech to the delegates of Virginia. And in this speech, he was just fired up. A lot of people afterwards said that this was the most impassioned speech that they had ever seen in their whole lives. And what he was trying to do is he was trying to convince them that they needed to use their resources, their militia in Virginia, to aid in fighting this Revolutionary War. And they weren't convinced until he gave this speech. And by the way, this speech was in a church from a pulpit. It was actually in a church where they were meeting, and he gives this impassioned speech to the people around him there. And I want to quote just the last line of this impassioned speech, and I won't do it justice because I'm sure he was very, very animated. So he said this in the last line. This is Patrick Henry. He said, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." What an amazing statement. I still get chills when I read those words, because the commitment to, you know what, I won't live like this. Give me liberty or give me death. I'm not going to live in bondage anymore. I'm not going to live chained up. And so as I was thinking about that, those words resonated with me. And I've got another quote for you. It's slightly less historic. And maybe you're not a history buff, so I kind of dumbed it down a little bit. You remember when Mel Gibson played William Wallace in Braveheart? And so maybe we dropped a rung here, but we can relate. And he said that before he's preparing the guys for battle, he's like, "They may take our lives, but they're never going to take our freedom." And then you yell out freedom and everybody gets fired up. And then, of course, Braveheart 2. Braveheart 2, aptly named The Patriot. I don't know if you remember this, but it was the exact same movie, just more apropos, dressed up in colonial times. But the same exact thing happens. His wife gets killed. He goes and fights against the evil oppressors. It's Braveheart 2. So you'll have to forgive me for that. But it came out like a year and a half afterwards, and it was the same exact movie. But I think that's more apropos for today and what we're talking about. So there's something in the human heart that kind of fires up when we talk about casting off the shackles of our oppressors, and it's a very American sensibility. We want to be free. And so as I was thinking about that and thinking about our nation's birthday and the incredible price that's paid for our liberty in blood and treasure, I was thinking about the state of our freedoms. Even these last couple of weeks, thinking about all the craziness going on in our country, Pride Month last month, Roe v. Wade, all this turmoil that's happening, all this stuff that is just kind of ugly, and people saying, "I want my freedoms. It's my freedoms. I'm free to do anything I want. I'm free to choose. I'm free to live this way. I'm free to dress up this way and read storybooks to little kids." And just the idea of freedom has been so convoluted. It's been so changed from what our founders envisioned. Satan knows all about different kinds of freedoms. And it looks a lot like rebellion against God. You remember Satan said, "I will do this. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High." Everything that he wanted to do centered around him. "I will do this." And today it sounds very similar. "I want my freedoms. I will do this. I will do that. Regardless of what anyone else says, I want to do it." Kind of dangerous. I becomes the center of everything. And then it occurred to me that not all freedom is real freedom. In fact, many times something that looks like freedom and feels like freedom is exactly the opposite. It's actually bondage and slavery. We know this about Satan. He's into counterfeiting. Everything the Lord does, Satan has a little counterfeit, a little knockoff, some cheaper version of what God does. He likes to take what God does and twist it and manipulate it and make it look similar but not authentic. It's fake, fictitious, fraudulent, fabricated, phony. That last one was a PH for those of you who I was going with the F alliterations, but listen to what 2 Peter says here. 2 Peter 2:17, it says, "These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception, and they promise freedom. But they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you." Does that sound like maybe that was written this last week? It sounds like it's apropos for today. And that's how the Word of God is. You read it and you go, wow, that applies to right now. They scream freedoms. They say, I want my freedom. Don't take away my freedoms. But they're not freedoms at all. You're a slave to whatever controls you. And in fact, they want to bring people back into captivity. We get fooled a lot. And man, it seems like that was the right thing. That seemed like it was freedom, but it wasn't. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So often as humans, we think that's the right thing to do. That's going to lead to freedom. It's like, no, it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to something that brings you right into bondage and something that's not good for you. And we see this right off the bat. Right at the beginning of human existence, right in the Garden of Eden, you see what Satan is promising. He's going, oh, he knows if you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like him. Your consciousness will be expanded, right? You're going to know good from evil. You're going to have more liberty. You're going to have a broader understanding. And what happens? Death and sin and all of these horrible things enter into the world. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So if there's imitation freedom, I was thinking, what does authentic freedom look like? What does it look like? We as Christians need to know what it looks like to keep ourselves away from something that looks like freedom, but does not really lead to freedom. And so what does it look like? And so today, this is not an all-inclusive list, but I just started to write down some things that I felt like the Lord was saying, what authentic freedom looks like. How we can begin to just look and see, is this authentic freedom or is this that fake pseudo freedom? It looks like I'm going to be free, but it's going to put me right back into bondage. And so if you're taking notes, there's 7 of these, maybe 8. We'll see what God does. Authentic freedom is reproductive, is the first one. And that sounds a little weird. But I had this idea this week, and it just kept reoccurring. And I was thinking, you know what? Real freedom reproduces. It leads to more freedom. And fake freedom doesn't reproduce. It doesn't lead to more freedom and more freedom and more freedom, generational freedom. Fake freedom leads to something else. Maybe it leads to pleasure. Maybe it leads to something else, but it doesn't lead to more freedom. And so real freedom will produce more freedom. Fake freedom produces bondage. Galatians 5:1, and this is the Berean Study Bible. And I'm going to go through a lot of verses, so write down the reference and check them later. Be that Berean to check all these verses, because I'm going through them too quick, but they'll be up here. Galatians 5:1, it says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not be encumbered once more by a yoke of slavery." He's saying, you've been set free to what? Live in freedom. It's not just self-evident. Once you're free, it's not a given that you're going to live in freedom, because it's the human heart that puts yourself back into bondage. It's sin that puts you back into bondage. He's saying, hey, it's for freedom that he sets you free. It's not for bondage. It's not for, I'll do whatever I want now because I'm free. It's like, no, he sets you free so that you'll be really free, so that you'll live in continual freedom in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we find something in our lives and we say, this looks like freedom. Yeah, this is what I want. And I would just caution you, be careful. Be careful that it really is freedom and it's not something else. There's a saying about the things we own owning us. Sooner or later, it's like the things we own can own us. And that's become very true in this society. It's like, do you really own your stuff, or does all your stuff own you? Are you a slave to your stuff? Well, that doesn't really look like freedom. Well, I've got the freedom to go buy my boat. I've got my freedom to go buy my RV. I've got my freedom to do this. We're going to be free. We're going to travel. And then you're really just emptying wastewater tanks and scrubbing stuff. And it's like, are you free? Doesn't look like freedom. You're dumping wastewater. I don't think that's what you envisioned when you went to go get your fifth wheel. When you got that boat, detailing your boat wasn't what you had in mind. It was like being out on the river, but you spend more time washing and storing the boat than you ever do out in the river. And so we have to be careful that the stuff that we own doesn't own us and put us into bondage. And this can be applied to so many other things in our lives. When we go and do something, we have to make sure and think about, like, is this thing really what God wants for my life? And I'll share just a blip of this, and this is another place where it applies. I had a girlfriend long time ago that my parents disapproved of. And I had the freedom to go do what I wanted. Like, who cares about you, mom and dad? You don't know what, you can't control me. It's like, you don't know about my life, right? And I'm going to go and do whatever I want. And my parents tried to warn me, like, this is going to lead to problems. It's going to lead to heartache. It's going to lead to all sorts of other issues. And it did. And I didn't listen. And I'm not the only one here. So many of us had people who warned us, who have told us, who have said, don't do that. It's going to lead to something bad. And then we do it anyways. And it leads us right into a life of bondage and pain and misery. We're not free. You think you're free. Like, I'm free, mom and dad. I can do what I want. I'm my own person. It's like, yeah, it's one-time freedom, not long-term freedom. Number two here in the list of things, authentic freedom, is life with purpose. So much of what the world thinks is freedom is so meaningless. It's purposeless. It's just living to live. There's nothing behind it except fun. Oh, great. Your life is fun. And then what? Until it's not fun? That's pretty vapid. It's pretty empty. A life with purpose is a life of freedom. Because all of a sudden, the things that I do are meaningful. It isn't just for nothing. So many people are living their lives right now where they're aimless. It's like, what's the point of living? And I remember feeling like that. I remember feeling like, what's the point of life if this is all there is? I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to make money to pay bills so that I can go back to work again. And I'm going to eat meals. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to try and have fun on the weekend. Then I'm going to work. And then it's just like this weird thing. You're like, what is the point of this? There's no freedom in that. In fact, I remember just feeling cooped up, and it's like, will this loop ever end? Or is this all there is to life? Nope. Ephesians 2:10, it says this. You're made for a reason. He says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. When your life has meaning and purpose, there's freedom to endure. Of course, in the good times, but if your life has purpose, you can even endure in the hard times. You can even endure and have freedom when things are going bad, when you're going through hardship, because it's purposeful. God has made you for a reason. God has set you apart. It says that you're his poem or his masterpiece here, that he designed you. for good works. And so when we have that, we have the freedom to endure things because my life has purpose in it. Without purpose, it feels like we're in a little cage, just trying to do our best, running in the squirrel cage. Not how I want to live. Authentic freedom is freedom from sin. Real freedom is freedom from sin. Acts 13:38 says this. It says, "Therefore, let us be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." We couldn't deal with sin through religion. And there is no freedom in following religion, trying to somehow deal with our sins. I've known guys who were my friends in high school, and they traveled all around the world. You try to go to monasteries, you try to go to Tibet, you go to different things, and you try to figure out, how do I get close to God? How can I deal with this? Well, the problem is sin. That's the problem. There's a problem of sin, and without dealing with the problem of sin, you're never going to have freedom. That's what all the world religions are trying to do. They're trying to reach God, and the point is, you can't reach God. God has to reach down. He made the way. You're not going to be able to. And so he's the one who has to deal with sin. And Romans 6:6 says this, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. And death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God." Verse 11, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." As Christians, we are no longer slaves to sin. We don't have to say this thing. We don't have to do this thing. And so often it feels like that. It feels like our nature going, you have to go have that drink. You have to go after that woman. You have to do this. And it's like, no, I have victory in Christ Jesus. I don't have to do those things anymore. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Jesus has conquered that in my life. Are there still temptations? Yes. But real freedom, authentic freedom, is a freedom from sin and its power in our lives because Jesus dealt with sin on the cross. So important to remember that. And the next one is closely linked to it. It's a freedom from death. Authentic freedom is freedom from death. And 1 Corinthians says this, and this is a famous verse that I love. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says this, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption," when we get our new bodies, "and this mortal has put on immortality, then this will be brought to pass, the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" That should liberate you this morning. The fear of death, and I was going to put fear on here too, and that's kind of what the Lord was speaking to me. He's like, those are closely linked. Death and fear. Fear. Why do we fear things? Why do we fear things? So much of it is linked to death, but there's just a lot of fear in mortality. And there's fear that just hovers over us constantly. And that thought of, I'm going to die someday, I'm going to die someday, I'm going to die someday. Until I found the Lord, that's always in the back of your mind. You try to just like shrug it off, like, I'm not afraid of death. Yeah, but you kind of are. Because it dictates every way and every aspect that you live. And whether people want to admit that or not, there's a fear of death until you find Jesus. And he's come to free us from death. Free us from that fear of death. That freedom from the fear. Like, what am I going to do? And I'll just say this as a side note. It's discouraging when somebody is afraid of death all the time. That's all they can think of. I don't know if you've been around Christians who died well and Christians who died not so well. It is one of the most encouraging and blessed things to see someone who dies well. If you've ever seen a picture of somebody who's on their deathbed with their hands raised and they have worship music playing and they're worshiping to the Lord and they're probably going to pass that night, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't understand that kind of hope. It's wonderful. It's inspiring. But I've also known people who for the last 20 years of their life were dying in some way, shape, or form, and that's all they talked about was death and death and death. And you're like, do you not have hope? I understand it, but do you not have hope? Death is not the end for the Christian. So if you're really a Christian, our hope, let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about seeing Jesus. Let's talk about the good things that are to come. Death is just a gateway to the life that is to come in Jesus Christ. And so he's dealt with that. He's dealt with death and he's dealt with the fear of it. Authentic freedom is abiding in truth. The world says that, hey, you should follow your own truth, right? Yeah, that's good for you, but that's not really my truth. Have you heard people say that? It's just, that's not possible. And it's like, there either is a truth or there isn't a truth. And if there's no truth, then all of this is meaningless. It's all hopeless. But there is a truth. And that should give us hope. We don't want to be like Pontius Pilate. And like, what is truth? John 8:31 says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Authentic freedom is abiding in the truth. It's opening up God's word, hearing from the Lord, spending time with the Lord, devoting yourself to the Lord. That's what authentic freedom is. We got to spend time in his word. We got to hear from him. When we're not spending time in the word, all that other stuff starts to creep back in. And so Jesus right here, he says, look, if you abide in my word, this is a promise. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you want to live more free? Do you want to live in more freedom? Spend more time in his word, and you'll live a life that's more free. Free from worry. Free from the things that this world wants you to be concerned about. All it takes is turning on the TV, and all of a sudden we get burdened with all of the problems that are going on, and it doesn't feel like freedom anymore. It feels like bondage. It feels like they want me to worry, and I will worry. They want me to be scared for our country, and I am scared for our country. Like, no, I don't want to live that way. I want to live in a hope and a peace. And I want to spend time, more time here than Fox News, more time here than Newsmax, more time here than all the others. Because that's what's going to give me freedom. Otherwise, I'm going to be in bondage, even if they're telling the truth about the situation. I don't want to be in bondage there. And it can bring that. Jesus says this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said basically the volume of the book, the whole thing, is written of me. This is where you're going to find truth, and the truth will set you free, and the truth is in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to the next point, authentic freedom is found in Christ. Pretty obvious, pretty self-aware. You had to expect something about Jesus. It is Sunday morning. Authentic freedom is found in Jesus. I didn't know real freedom in my life until I surrendered to Jesus Christ, till I gave my life to him. He said, you do with my life whatever you want. I'll challenge you with this. Have you let Jesus define who you are? I mean, really define who you are. Because so much of the rebellion where I'm free to choose who I'm going to be. I'm going to choose my job. I'm going to choose my career. I'm going to choose my path. It's a different thing when you say, Lord, you tell me who I'm supposed to be. You tell me where I'm supposed to go. You tell me what I'm supposed to do in my life and how I'm supposed to serve you. That's different freedom. That's real freedom. Because he gets to define everything. I don't have to define it anymore. And there's so much bondage in that striving. It's like, I was going to be a millionaire by 45. Oh, and I'm like trying so hard. And there's bondage. And whatever it is for you, it's probably not that, but it could be something else. I thought I knew what I was until I surrendered to Jesus. I love how the NLT puts that same verse. He says, so if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Only Jesus can do that. You think you're free, but unless you're in Jesus, then you're really free. That's real freedom. You'll experience that for the first time in Christ Jesus. At the heart of all authentic freedom is Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the center. So if you want a litmus test, is Jesus involved in it? This looks like freedom. This feels like freedom. Is Jesus involved? There are things in our lives that are permissible. Jesus isn't involved, and we wouldn't involve him even if we could, because there's shame. And I'll pick on, I've been heavy on this, why stop now? Alcohol. Can you involve Jesus in it? You're free to do it. Can you involve Jesus in it? Is he glorified in it? Does it lead to more freedom, or does it lead to bondage? I would just say this, you have the freedom, but it's probably synthetic freedom. It doesn't produce more freedom. In fact, it produces bondage. What about the things you're looking at on your phone? You're free to do that. Does it produce more freedom, or does it produce bondage? There are so many things like that. Apply it to whatever's going on in your life. Can you involve Jesus in it? Would you bring him alongside you and say, hey, look at this. Hey, why don't you have one of these, Jesus? Is that the way that it works? So if you can't do that, then what's it for? What's the purpose? What's it producing? It's producing bondage in one way or another. It's not authentic freedom. And this one is closely linked, and this is the last one that I'll go over. Authentic freedom is by his Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, and this is the NLT. It says this, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In fact, if you want another litmus test to know for sure that you're living in authentic freedom, here it is. Look for the Spirit of the Lord moving, and then look for the fruit. What's the evidence that the Spirit is in your life? What's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is doing the work? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? So we should be seeing fruit. If there's real freedom and authentic freedom in your life, there should be fruit in your life. Galatians 5:22, it lays out what the fruit is. And it says, hey, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering or patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Are you seeing all those things in your life? Where's the joy? When you start messing with synthetic freedom, bondage, the joy goes right out the window. One of the first things to disappear is the joy. There's no joy anymore. If something is stealing your joy, you probably shouldn't be free to do it. And that's a choice that you have to make. Some of the social media that I would look at would just steal my joy like that. You're like, boom. Now I'm upset, it's getting my blood pressure up, it's stealing my joy, there's no more fruit there. Is that freedom or is that bondage? It's not good for you. And so I would say, look and see. Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit? Is there love? Is it producing joy? Is it producing peace? Is it producing patience? Is it producing that? Because that's the evidence that God's Spirit is moving among you, working in your life. Those are the outcroppings of the Spirit in your life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And I'd say where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there's bondage. I want to be where He is. I want to be where He's leading. So what's the solution to the issues that are plaguing our country? There are many. I was just reading this, and these are two of my favorite quotes from some of our founding fathers. I'll throw this in. John Adams, he said this, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Today or this week, I heard people saying, "I don't even care about the Constitution." Well, that's because you're not a moral or religious people. The Constitution is for a moral and religious people, a people who would serve God. That's who it's for. And it's totally inadequate to govern amoral people. It's not going to solve our problems. I like this quote, this next one here, from William Penn. He says, "Men must be governed by God, or they will be ruled by tyrants." That's what our nation needs. Our nation needs to decide we'll be ruled by God again. And we'll experience the freedom that God gives. And we'll live that way. And I fear that if we don't do that, we're going to be ruled by tyrants. Seems like that's what's going on. It's because our nation has turned away from God. We've turned away from God. "You won't rule me." Well, guess what? You will be ruled. Either by your own desires or by somebody else. But you're going to get ruled. Just the way it is. I'd rather God, a loving God, get to dictate in my life, get to rule and reign. Because He loves me. I'm His kid. He's much better than dealing with a dictator. He's much better than dealing with a Stalin. We have to make a choice as a country. Who are we going to be ruled by? And this country is us. So often we go, "They in Washington, D.C., that cesspool over there in Washington, D.C. The country is us. And the way the country is run starts in your home and my home. How do we live in our lives? Do we let God govern our affairs? It's really easy to go, "They need to put God back in the courtroom. They need to put God." And it's like, God's not even in your home. God's not even in your life. Why don't you solve that first? And then the citizens will start living for God. And we'll start electing the people who serve God. And then we'll reestablish that God will be served in this country. But it starts in my home. It starts in your home. We can't expect everybody else to do it in far-off lands, in far-off states. You got to do it in your own home first and in your own community. And that's how we'll start to experience more freedom. So I'll close with this challenge. Are you really free? Are you living in authentic freedom? Not just enjoying the fruits of this nation's liberty, but living in the freedom of God's Spirit and experiencing the freedom and forgiveness that's only found in Jesus Christ. Are you free? And if you're not free, we're going to pray here in a minute, and I'll give you an opportunity to confess Jesus Christ and surrender your life to Him and experience freedom for maybe even the first time. That's the only way to be really free. To live in freedom is to experience the life that Jesus gives. He's the one. He's the author of freedom. And so let's pray, And let's ask the Lord to give us his love and freedom. Jesus, we just thank you so much that you have loved us when we were unlovable. You loved us first, and you gave your life as a ransom for us, that we might be free indeed. So, Lord, I ask that you would reveal to us any area where we're putting ourselves into bondage and captivity, areas where you've asked us to be free, areas where you've asked us to surrender things and trust you. I ask, God, that you would give us the strength to trust that the freedom you are offering is better than the freedom of our own self-will. So, Lord, be our strength this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this song, we have communion in the back. Let's go ahead and take the elements together. And then if you have never given your life to Jesus, as we sing this song, come up and I would love to pray for you. In Jesus' name.